Good morning to all of you who have joined us on this January the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2020.
Yes.
And we've already had several wonderful Sunday school lessons, and we're studying in a series now about suffering, and all of us have questions about that.
Oh, absolutely.
One of my best ones would be, why do good folks suffer?
Yeah.
And then I get to thinking about it, there ain't no good ones among us.
The Bible says, none good, no, not one.
That's right. And I quote the Bible on that. But we are going to try to come up with some, not come up with some, but listen to God to give us some answer about suffering. Who was this guy that was asking such a question, and we're studying Mike that had knew something about suffering?
Who was this guy?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Job.
You've lost me. Oh, okay.
I'm talking about Mr. Job.
Okay, Mr. Job. I got you now. If I just looked at the scripture, I'd know. All right. Yeah. Job had a lot of questions for God about that. We'll talk about old Job here in a minute. You know, James talks about Job over there in the fifth chapter, where he talks about, you know, comparing your own sufferings and so forth. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay, so this guy was well qualified to ask that question, because he did suffer, and he did go through a lot of things maybe that some of us hadn't gone through, and maybe he didn't go through some of the same things that some of us have. But either way, we're going to put it all in a bucket, and we're going to shake it up, and we're going to try to come out with at least some answers as best we know this morning. So we're so grateful for you joining us, and if you want to get your Bible and have it ready, where you can, we'll be studying out of Job chapter 11, and then we'll study out of chapter 23 of Job, and finally, we're going to see how all this mixes in and works. We're going to be studying out of the Gospel according to John.
There we go. Yeah.
And see how all of that fits into the question and into the series, why am I suffering, by Job. Now, first of all, I expect we better tell you who we are, so you'll know whether we're reputable folks that you can listen to or not. Mike, would you share who you are?
I am. I'm Mike Hall, pastor at New Salem Baptist Church in Reform. Come a couple of months from now, it'll be 45 years.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know you, but you must have started when you was about two.
I was about 3 years old.
When you got your first whipping.
Yeah, right.
And I'm Brandon Pinion, pastor of Moores Bridge Baptist Church, and I'm delighted to be here.
And I'm Herschel Owen, pastor at Gordo, in Gordo at Emmanuel Baptist Church, on the hill in Gordo. So you pray for us and listen to us and amen us. We won't hear you, but
yeah, all right. God will.
He will, and he'll supply some answers and some encouragement and all too, as we do that. But we better have prayer. Mike, you start us off with prayer.
Be glad to. Lord, we just love you today and thank you so much, God, for the opportunity to be here on the radio talking to others about the blessed word of God. And we just ask you to put your hand on what we have to say today, God. Inject your wisdom into what we have to say. And Father, you know who's listening and what their needs are. So we just ask you to help supply their needs through what we have to say, because we say what you would have us to, in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So again, thank you for joining us, and pray for us as we do go through and try to share with you. Now, in introducing this, we're studying a series called When Life Gets Hard, and then Big Questions About Suffering. Now, everybody suffers in one way or the other.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we're men and women, we're humans, and we suffer physically, we suffer mentally, we suffer spiritually. We just suffer. And So I don't blame old Job, because we're going to find if anybody in the world had a reason to say, why am I suffering?
Oh, yeah.
It was Job. It was Job. Mike, you're sitting on the right-hand side of me, and the man on the right-hand, well, you're sitting right across from me. I'm going counterclockwise.
There you go. All right. Well, let's look at Job chapter 11, and we're going to start reading in verse 13. That's Job 11, 13. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hand toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away.
Okay. How about, let's think about this. There are a group of people who say that the reason we suffer is due to karma, K-A-R-M-A. Anybody know what karma means?
Well, what will be, and there's nothing you can do about it and all of that good stuff.
I know a little song about that, but it's not a Christian song.
All right, yeah. Que sera, sera.
That's right. Yeah. What will be, will be. Well, and so, if we, that theology, if you could call it that, matter of belief, says that whatever you do now is going to affect you later on down the road. So if you...
Well, this is old Zophar talking here.
It is.
To Job, and of course, let's see, it was Zophar and Bildad, and what was the other one's name?
Elihu.
Elihu, and they was... They first started out talking to old Job like good friends. They really did.
When they first come, what did they do with him?
Well, they would just encourage him.
Well, they sat with him 7 days.
They were just literally seemingly sharing his burden with him, mm-hmm. and just quietly sitting there. Which, that's a good thing. I mean, I've done that before with folk that, you know, and I've...
Well, when you hadn't got anything to say...
All right.
And you hadn't got anything to do... Uh-huh. Then why try to manufacture right. something that you might make a mess of?
That's right. Just
you will make a mess of it.
You
that's
will.
Probably what they did. Yeah.
Just sit there and keep your mouth shut. And so, and they seemed to be encouragers to begin with, but then as time went on, they began to...
Accusers.
To let him know that they believed that what was happening to him, which, now, in their defense, in a way... You know, that was the thinking of the day. That was the theology of the temple of that day, was if you were suffering, it was because you had done some kind of sin, or maybe somebody in your family had committed some kind of sin. Because I remember in some of the miracles that Jesus did, you know, they'd say, well, like the blind man, you know, his mom and daddy sinned, or somebody sinned.
That's going to be that John.
That's
John,
right. So, you know, that was just the way folks thought back in those days. But, you know, we found out through the study of Job that that's not the truth. I mean, you may suffer because of your sins, because, as I tell the church all the time, bad choices have bad consequences.
Right. Yeah.
They do. I've done it myself.
Yeah.
And sometimes God will just let those consequences cause us to suffer.
Yeah.
And well, he should. I've got no problem with that either.
Brennan, what happened to Job? I mean, here we are telling these people about how he's suffering. And how was he suffering? Did he have ingrown toenails, or what happened to him?
Well, the reason for it is because he lost everything.
Yeah, tell them about
that. I mean, everything. He was one of the most prosperous, if not the most prosperous individual in the East, I believe it was, wasn't it?
Right, in the East, that's right.
And the devil came before God and said, now you're protecting him, you build a hedge around him, and if you'll turn me loose on him, I'll show you just what kind of fellow he is.
Show you the real Job.
Yeah, the real Job.
Yeah.
And God, I guess, I don't know whether God thought about it any or not, but he just told him, he said, you take him and do anything you want to do except take his life.
Right.
You cannot take his life.
Well, you know, the thing is, and this is something we're going to need to wrestle through here too before we get to Job's particular situation. But the Bible said there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came with them. The devil came with them. Now, the thing that I want to get a little bit straightened out is the devil still, although he's been cast out of heaven because he was going to make his throne equal with God.
Cast down to earth, yeah.
And he's been cast down to the earth. Does he still have the ability to go up and present himself to God?
Well, even in study of the New Testament, you see that the Bible talks about Satan as the accuser.
Right.
He is the accuser that goes before God accusing you and me. Whether it's true or not is irrelevant to him. He doesn't,
right.
He doesn't care. And I see that as God, what we need to take a little bit of a notice of in our lives. God even holds the angels accountable mm-hmm. for what they do. And they just came to present themselves before God to give an accounting of themselves. Of where are you doing? Where are you being? What's going on? Not that God didn't know, mm-hmm. but because they had to give an account to God. And Satan just, he's one of them in the sense that he was a created angel. And so he just shows up too, you know, well, here I am. And God says, where you been?
Yeah.
I've been down on the earth, to and fro, going all over the place, you know.
And he told the truth there.
He sure did.
He's still doing that.
That's what I was thinking to say, that he's still doing that.
He hadn't changed. And so God just asked him, said, well, did you take a look at old Job while you was down there? He's an upright man. He's a good man. And oh, my goodness. You know Satan had, because that's it. God knew that's what was on Satan's mind mm-hmm. right then. He mm-hmm. was mad because he couldn't touch Job.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't touch Job because Job wouldn't let him. Job had him sealed out because of his wonderful faith in God and wouldn't give Satan the time of day. So Satan accused God then of having this hedge.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you put a hedge around him. I can't get to him because you put a hedge around him.
Mm-hmm.
And God, well, he had a hedge all right. Yeah. He had, what, 5,000 sheep and 1,000 donkeys and a bunch of camels.
Wealthy.
The Job Trucking Company Incorporated shipped stuff all over the place, you know, for folk. He was making big money. Had 7 sons and 3 daughters, if mm-hmm. I got that right. And, yeah, he was doing well. But you could also hear what Job said. When the young'uns come together to make a feast or whatever, old Job, he'd bring them together and he'd have prayer over them and make sacrifice for them and do the rituals of the day that would cleanse them.
Just
purified.
In case.
The Bible called it purified. And yeah, just in case there was sin in their life. So old Job was doing it right.
Yeah.
And that made Satan mad. Makes Satan mad when you're doing it right too.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, believe me, I know. And that's why the things happened to Job, exactly the opposite of what old Zophar and Bildad, Neva Foz, or whoever come accusing him of. It was exactly the opposite. It was because Job was doing the right thing that Satan brought the suffering on him. So yeah. It was a big day. It was a day that I still to this day as a human being, I don't understand. I really don't. I don't know why God needed to do that, but it, for some reason he did. Maybe it's for Job's sake. I think when we get toward the end, though, we'll have a little more clarification as to why it happened.
But now, Job is suffering because you gave us a list of all those animals and family and all that he had. But at this particular time, what's he got? How's he doing financially and family-wise now?
Well, first here comes the servant that says, hey, all of you, I don't know what order it was in, but all sure. of your sheep are dead.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the servants that was taking care of your sheep are dead.
Well, before, buildings burned.
Buildings burned.
Lightning struck it,
that's
I think.
That's right. Tornado come through and all
yeah,
that good stuff.
Wind blowing.
Then here come one says, all your donkeys are dead, and all their servants are dead. And anyway, finally, ultimately, the main thing, one came and said, all of your children are dead.
Right.
And man, can you imagine Job was, I mean, Satan was just chomping at the bits, just waiting. All right, here comes old Job, ready to curse God. Mm-hmm. Now he's ready to.
Now then.
He was sure trying to get him.
He thought, sure, Job would. And the Bible says that Job tore his clothes off and got down on his knees.
Sit down in ashes.
Worshipped God. And said, I was naked when I come into this world, and I'll be naked when I leave this world. Praise be unto God. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Glory, glory, glory be unto God. Man, that's, I don't know.
There's more than we can do as personally him.
I have to question myself on that. I do.
Well, what we're going to do now, that's what we wanted is to find out. Job is in a mess.
Yeah?
He is in a pickle.
Well, he was... Then Satan said, skin for skin. You know, you took all he had, and that's all right. He'll give that up and still worship you. But, boy, if you make his old body sore and make him hurt, suffer painfully in his body, then he'll curse you.
And then that's when he got that ingrown toenail.
That's when God said, okay, you can do anything to him but take his life, as Brandon said a while ago. Big boils come up on his body, and he started to, all over him, started to hurt and seething wounds. And he sat down in the city dump and started scraping with a piece of a pot, broken pot, just to make it feel
ashes,
a little bit.
Ashes.
Ashes to try to soak up that old oozing fluid coming out of his body. And, ooh, Lord, I can only imagine.
Well, it is beyond our really conception of what he was going through. Now, three things I have divided this lesson into. Now, we got him in a mess. We got him where we need him in order to understand this lesson as to why it's called Why Am I Suffering? If anybody in the world ever suffered, of course, I'm not comparing him to Jesus as he hung on the cross and became sin for us.
Oh, absolutely. That was
all of our sins.
That
nobody suffered like Jesus. But here's a man that has, beyond belief, beyond even description, has lost everything. Everything but his life, and he really wished he could go ahead and lose that in the shape that he's in.
Well, yes. In fact, eventually he did curse even the day he was born. You know, it would have been better off if I'd never been born.
Right.
Yeah.
The opinion of others about suffering is the one first thing we're going to talk about. What were their opinions about suffering, and especially Job's suffering? The second thing, Job's ongoing search, for God's presence, and secondly, for God's purpose in what he was going through in his suffering. And then we're going to end up this lesson in the book of the Gospel of John, and look at the observed sufferer and look at a person that actually was suffering and learned some things from that. Now, if you think about the opinion of others about suffering, one of the things that we need, especially when we're going through some hard times and suffering, is the sympathy and the help of our helpmate, wife or husband.
Well, the encouragement from someone else.
Well, did Job have that?
It could be family, it could be pastor, could be friend, could be co-worker. You just name them, you know. Any individual that knows the Lord and has had an experience maybe somewhat similar to what you might be going through, then he can help us.
But especially is our wife or our husband.
Oh, yeah.
If they'll come and stand with us. Did that happen to Job?
No, not at all. Not at all. Sweet thing come around the corner while he's sitting there in them ashes and scraping his sores and said, why don't you just... Well, in fact, she just said, do you still retain your integrity now, big boy? Now do you want to hold your integrity up? Or why don't you just curse God and go ahead and die and get out of this situation? That was a real encouragement, wasn't it?
Yeah, just
that'd be something.
Yeah. Go ahead and die and get out of mind.
Yeah,
because she was a problem. He was a problem to her too.
Yeah,
all the neighbors talking about her old husband sitting out there in the ashes and wearing those old rough clothes and looking awful and eat up with all them sores. Now, why don't you just curse God and die?
All this integrity you've been upholding all these years, see where it got you?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, see where it got you?
What's the purpose in it? What's the use of it?
What's it good for now?
Yeah.
She must have missed all of the pleasures that she had enjoyed because of his prosperity.
And those were her 10 children that died too. That was her 10 kids. Yeah. So she was suffering.
She was blaming him with it, really.
She was. That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
His holding on to that integrity in her mind was what was causing all of this.
So when we think about his suffering, of course, his suffering began with, and we'll see all the way through this, he's really wondering, where are you, God?
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But then here his wife is, turns her back on him and said, I'd be better off if you had died and you would too. And in fact, go ahead and curse God and get it over with.
Well, you know, if you look at it, Satan was holding her real good. And don't he do that to you and me too. But, you know, if you'll just come and play with Satan's toys, he'll leave you alone. You know, if you'll just go ahead and go his route, you can have all this fun. I mean, why are you letting God and all this faith stuff, all this church mess, take all the fun out of life? Mm-hmm. You get up on Sunday morning. Well, you could lay up in that bed at 9, 10 o'clock if you wanted to. You wouldn't go to Sunday school.
And Saturday, you could go down to the gambling places
look at all that money you could win.
And
have you a few drinks and a good time. And, you know, all them pretty women you could play with. I mean, just think about all the good times you could have if you just let Satan be in charge.
Yeah.
But you want to hold on to this integrity business and let God take all the fun out of life.
And I like the way you said it a while ago. What's it got you?
What's it got you now? Yeah. See where you are? Yeah. Look at him, sitting here suffering. What's just curse God and go on die?
One of the things, though, Mike, that stands out in my mind is if the devil can't get to the person he's after, he'll go to the closest one to them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's try his dead level best to get a hold of them and get a hold of the one he's really after through them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that so often happens.
It does. And for parents, oh, boy, if he can just get a hold of the youngins, He can destroy you. Oh my goodness!
If he don't destroy you, he'll sure make you have some miserable times.
He'll make you feel like life ain't worth living.
That's right.
Yeah, he can.
So
and he can do the same with a husband and wife. I know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, hey, you can do what you want to me, but don't touch my wife.
Right.
You know.
Right.
She's too special to me. But Satan knows all that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's no greenhorn.
No. And the sad thing of it is, it would have made it some little bit better if she would have just been understanding.
Yeah, yeah.
But her whole approach was her opinion. She gave, look at the advice that she gave to him there. This is my advice to you. Curse God and die. Get it over with. Get out of the way. Get your misery over with. So not only do we see the advice that was given by his wife, but we see the assumption of Job's friend Zophar. Because y'all said a while ago that this scripture particularly is dealing with Zophar, his comforting advice and help. So look at his assumption. What did he assume the problem was? Brother Pinion with Job.
Well, I believe he said down here in one comment it's made in our outline is Zophar assured Job that if Job dealt with the sin causing this suffering, that the suffering would stop, and that even the memory of the suffering would stop as well. But, you know, that's deceptive.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
Sometimes you can get the suffering stopped, but the memory of the suffering is not going to stop.
It's
going to continue on and on and on. Yeah. And then that's for a long time to come.
Absolutely.
And he was assuming, Mike, that Job's pain was punishment.
Well, in 14 he says, if iniquity be in your hand, put it away. Don't let wickedness dwell in your tabernacles. Well, hey, it wasn't there.
No.
It was not there. And in fact, Zophar, along with the other boys, got mad at Job when Job told him, look, this is not because of sin. This is not because I have.
Well, wasn't that, and you said it a while ago, I think, Mike, and we might need to reemphasize it while we're here, is the fact that in this culture, they thought anything bad that happened to an individual, whoever it was,
right,
it was because of sin in their life.
That's right.
Either known sin.
That's right.
Our unknown sin,
oversight,
something that you've done that you didn't intend to do, but you have not acknowledged and you have not repented from, and so in this culture, everything is every bad thing is because of personal sin.
Right. Yeah.
And I think you mentioned that a while
that's
ago,
right.
And I think
I think
it needs to be reemphasized here.
The culture of that day was it?
Yeah.
Anything bad going on in your life, it's because you sinned.
That's right.
If you're suffering, that's just punishment from God that you sinned. But it was not true. And this is one of the greatest lessons there is in the Word of God, to show us the mercy of God, even though it looks like it's not, but it is the mercy of God and the love of God. As we go through, life is going to have times of suffering. It's going to, period. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Elvis Presley. He went through bouts of depression and suffering like anybody else. He could have had anything he wanted financially or materialistically, but he suffered just like the rest of us.
Well, you know, that dude that hung himself in New York City, here several months ago.
Right, exactly.
He could have had anything he wanted, but bless God, he abused everything he had.
That's right. And I look at it and I wonder, if God would, and I know God could, but if God would take all the suffering out of the world, what would happen to man then? And I can tell you for a fact, I look at how bad man is now, and if it wasn't for the times of suffering in our lives, how bad we sure enough would become.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, suffering in times of suffering tempers us. It brings our feet back down to the ground. And as a Christian, I can tell you, brothers, that it's in them valleys when my faith has grown. Now, I'm not saying it hadn't grown in the good times, because it has. I've seen the wonderful things that God's done, and you know, I give God the glory and my faith grows. But in them times of sufferings when you realize you ain't got nothing but God, that's when you realize he's all you really do need. And I've looked at that so many times in my own life, and man, I can tell you what, I thank God he don't take suffering out of our lives. And I know that sounds, but it's the truth. I don't like to suffer. I hate suffering. I despise it much as anybody. And God only knows what's ahead in my life or yours. But I thank God for the times of suffering in my life, because those are the times when I really, really found out who God is. I learned about God during suffering. And I think Job did too. This false accusation that Job had done some kind of sinful act that brought on this suffering and stuff. Many of us carry that same old thing in our minds too. He's getting what he deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily. And God's showing us that sometimes we need to suffer.
Right.
Davine and I lost two children before they were born, you know. She had one tubular pregnancy and she had one miscarriage. And I wouldn't sit here and tell you a lie. I questioned God. I could not. Seemed like everything on television was about somebody throwing their baby in the dumpster or somebody having an abortion or so, you know, abusing. And I'm like, God, Davine and I want a baby so bad. Mm-hmm. Why can we not have one? I promise you, Lord, we'll take good care of it.
You have a lot of others too.
Yeah. But then, you know, God showed us so many things through that. And Davine's for over 40 years worked the nursery at the church, and she's got young adults all over the Southeast that loves her dearly.
Sure.
Because she just gave her love to those children. But anyway, all of that said, Job questioned God. He did.
But now, one thing we do know, you mentioned about the suffering. There is no suffering in the world that God does not allow. We have established. He don't bring suffering on us.
No.
Forever. Man, if he did that to me, all the sins and the way I lived before I was saved, I wouldn't be nothing but a dried up pretzel.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't be nothing.
Yeah.
But so God doesn't do unfairly to any of us.
No.
And there was a purpose. There is a purpose that you have already explained. I don't need to go through that again. If you're suffering right now, some of you are.
Oh, yes.
Because God wouldn't have this lesson coming into your home.
Yeah.
If you were not, some of you are suffering, and you've done the very same thing, question God over and over again. Why, God? Why? Yeah. And nobody knows the bucket full of tears you've cried.
Absolutely.
Over this. Nobody.
No. That's right.
And some of you've got cancer, and the pain is unbearable, and you have to take the medicine to try to ease the pain just enough to exist. Some of you've got wayward children that have broken your heart.
Yeah.
Some of you have had, well, I won't even try to go into all the possibilities, but they've happened to some of you that are listening. And I can't come there, and I will not come there and say, the reason is you're sinning.
Yeah.
And if you quit that sinning, it'll all be a bed of roses. That ain't the way it is.
It's not. Gospel. But
You never know that God's all you need until God's all you got.
That's right. And that's what old Job
started.
That's
where old Job was.
He started the search for God. He started, I mean, we hear now, before this, Job was just doing his business up until then. So now, Job's sitting there and he is praying. He's talking to God. He's doing what I have done in the suffering times of my life. Spend hours on end just talking to the Lord.
Right.
And the presence of God. Old Job wanted the presence of God in his life so bad right then. And he began to learn lessons about God that he never knew before. And that's what happened in my life, in my sufferings. I began to learn. Let me tell you something, Marshall. You don't have to go out there tonight and sit in the dark at your house. You don't have to. But if you will, you'll see the stars.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens when you go into the darkness of life.
Right.
If in that darkness you'll look up to God, he'll show you wonderful things that you never would have seen otherwise if it hadn't been for that darkness in your life.
And you probably couldn't have even imagined.
Could not have imagined. And to me, that's what I find out of the story of Job and out of my own personal life. Just look up and see what God wants to show you. And in that time of darkness, you see a whole lot better than you can when that sun's shining.
In fact, sometimes that's the only time you can. And I've had blind people that I've talked to tell me, and I, you know, I'm be very sympathetic because, you know, I can see, and I enjoy seeing.
Right.
But I've talked to some that are blind, my approach would be, I'm so sorry that you're blind, and I've had some of them tell me, preacher, you just don't know, since I've been blind, how much better I see things than I did before. Not physically, but spiritually and understandably. And sometimes that's where we are. Job had been blessed by God. I don't know what he started off with. It doesn't say whether he inherited all them sheep and cows and all of that. I don't know how his little babies were when he sat on his knee. We were keeping, as of this past week, we were keeping our little great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
One of them's 1 year old, one of them's three. And they come up, and the little one-year-old especially come, and he'll begin to pull on your leg. He wants you to get him up and say, I thought, man, this is really living.
I mean,
this is really living here.
Good stuff.
And I don't know how many out of those 10 children, old Job remembered setting them up in his lap and saying, honey, look at old ring, as he pointed to that sheep, had that ring around his neck, different color maybe. And look at the old camel over there. Look at that baby camel.
Yeah.
But so all of those joys he had, but now, and in fact, Job in another place said, shall I enjoy all of the blessings of God and not...
None of the suffering.
None of the suffering. So Job does not understand, but he sure does have the right attitude. And I do believe, even though you question it, and God don't get mad and squash you like a bug because you question it.
No, though he
did. I'd be a dead bug.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
God's plenty big enough to handle your questions.
And he'll come to you in those darkest hours.
He will.
What we're trying to tell you, Job's case is already closed, and we're not trying to help him right now.
No.
But we are trying to reach out to you that are suffering, maybe not the same identical way as Job, but suffering is suffering.
That's it.
And we've all suffered a measure. But you say, preacher, you just don't know. And the truth is, we don't know what you're going through. But I want you to know, God cares. He sees us when we cry. He sees us when we laugh. He sees us when we're hurt.
Absolutely.
We're never out of the sight of God.
And I think the lesson of Job, and we'll get in this next section, is that the way Job, even though Job had been a upright man before, now he is earnestly searching for the presence of God. He wants to be closer to God. And that's what God wants out of me and you. He wants that relationship. He wants us. He wants our closeness. The Bible tells you that in Genesis of what God enjoys.
Mm-hmm.
He came and walked with Adam in the cool of the day. That's what God wanted from Adam. He wanted a closeness. He wanted a relationship. And that's what he still wants. That's why he still lets us live.
Well, you've introduced it rather well. Let's look at Job's ongoing search for God's presence. That's really important to him. God, are you there? Are you there, God, when I'm hurting? Are you there when I'm itching? Are you there when I'm mourning over my children? And not only his presence, but God's purpose. Lord, could you give me a little clue as to why this is all going on? Read that scripture, Mike.
And in Job 23, verse 8, maybe you felt this way before. Listen to how Job said, behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food.
So number one, Brother Pinion, where had Job searched for God?
Where had he?
In those verses 8 and 9.
Well, everywhere. Everywhere.
Every direction.
I mean, it didn't make any difference. I mean, he went back and wasn't there. Went forward and he wasn't there.
Left
I imagine, looked up and he wasn't there. Right, left. I mean, it is... God had abandoned him.
Where is God?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever felt that way in your life? I have.
I have. Oh, sure, boy. I have. I think all of us have it sometime.
And you that are listening have too.
Yeah.
If you're suffering.
And we're talking about Christian now. Yeah. We're not talking about lost folk.
No.
We're talking about Christian folks. There have been many times when you pray and you just think, God, do you not hear me?
The don't roof, go any farther.
That's right. He just hit the ceiling, bounce right back in your face, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Where are you, Lord? I just want to feel you. I just want to know you're there.
Yeah.
So some of you are doing that right now. You're laying on beds of affliction with something that's making your pain unbearable almost, and your heart's been broken. You've been misunderstood. All of that. And so you say, well, where's God in all this?
Where's God? Where is God? Why don't God just appear to me?
I think it goes back to something we discussed in our last passage. There's just an overwhelming number of people now, Herschel. They might be older, but younger generation don't seem to care.
Right.
But the older generation seems to have, some of them have an attitude that my misery is because of sins or something that I've done contrary to the wisdom and will of God. And that seems to be a carryover.
It does.
In lots and lots and lots of lives that is, it's just not there.
But then, but also that younger generation. Now, I used to preach a lot in the jails and around here and in Tuscaloosa, and I find that especially the younger generations who are incarcerated, they say the trouble is not with me. It's not me.
It's the law.
Well, mm-hmm. It is the law. It's the My daddy, it's my mother, it's my brother, it's my neighbor. Why, that fella I shot, I couldn't help it. He's the one made me do that. He caused me to do that. The problem is, instead of dealing with it, like you said, some of older folks do that search their heart, and sometimes maybe wrongly even, because they've been taught that that every cause has a beginning point, and it was sin. And
right.
So they say, well, I guess I did it. Yeah. And now the younger folks, they'll say, I didn't do it.
That's right.
Absolutely. Now Job said, I didn't do it. But say, there's a difference.
There's a great difference, because Job knew he didn't.
That's right.
Job knew it. This is not a self-righteousness that Job is showing here. He's not a Pharisee in the sense of the word.
Job didn't find any purpose
right
in this thing either. I mean, I think he was looking for it from the beginning. We sometimes things happen in our lives.
Right.
And we're looking for, well, what caused that?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Cause and effect.
And he was looking for a purpose too.
Well, you and I we as Christians today have a great advantage, because we have the Holy Spirit, and that God promises
us. We have the
whole
Bible.
Yeah, well, we do.
How much did Job have?
Job had very little.
Did he have the four Gospels?
No, he did not.
Job was the earliest and the oldest of all.
Right.
So all he had was
his personal
testimony, his personal relationship.
Experience with God,
And the Holy Spirit, God promises us, the Holy Spirit will convict us of our sin if we're saved. So I'm going to tell you something right quickly right now. If you've never been convicted of your sins, and you've never been chastised for your sins, then you're not saved. I can tell you that.
The Bible says you're not even a child.
No.
You're an illegitimate.
That's right. You're claiming something you don't have. So understand that. So that helps us when there is sin in our life. And then, of course, we know that John tells us we'll go ahead and ask for forgiveness. We'll confess those sins. God will forgive us of sin.
And dear brothers and sisters, I know you're a pillar in the neighborhood and a pillar in the church. And I'm not saying that lightly. But let me tell you something. You're also a sinner.
Absolutely.
What does the ALL in
that all have sinned.
How many is all?
That's it. That's it.
100%. Not one left out. Not one left out.
That's exactly right. So we're not sitting up here saying you that laying there suffering from cancer. Well, it must have been what you did 10 years ago, cheating, doing whatever you did, lying, stealing. No, we're not doing that. We're just telling you that everybody is a sinner.
Absolutely.
So I can't come to God and say, God, you got an innocent man here. You've arrested an innocent man.
That's right. Yeah, no. No, God, I'm not innocent.
And Job wasn't saying that either. He was just crying, God, just tell me. Come down and stand with me and tell me.
In other words, just come clean.
Yeah, that's right. Just
tell me. Show me.
Tell me what it is and let me understand what it is. And then he says that, God, though, what's God's opinion of old Job in verse 10 there, Mike?
Well, God understands just like Job did. God knew from the very beginning that he wasn't going to be doing this because of Job's sin. He said he knows, God knows the way I take Job's sin. And when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. Job said, put me up before the judgment bar. And I know, because God has assured me that I have not sinned and that I'm not going to be, I'm not going to be cast into hell. I'm going to come forth as gold. His confidence was not in himself there. It was in God. He said, because God knows what I do. He didn't say, I know. He said, God knows what I'm doing.
Mike, our opinion, let me come to you. How do you get all the impurities out of gold? He mentions gold here, and Mike's got his gold watch laying over there, and imagine you got yours around somewhere close. I got my tin watch on, so.
Bless his heart.
My.
So I say,
wine on.
But how do you get pure gold?
How do you get pure gold? You refine it.
And how do you refine it?
You refine it by heat. You melt it.
And go through the fire.
As the impurities in the gold begins to come to the top, you scale it off and scrape it off and scoop it off and throw it aside.
But that's by fire.
Until, and I've been told this, I don't know.
Oh, I bet you got a big old pile of it.
I've been told this, that when you know that it is pure and purely refined, you can see a reflection, a clear reflection of yourself in that gold if you get that close to it. I don't know.
Well,
never been that close.
I've seen the advertisement, 99, 100% pure gold.
Yeah.
Well, that's all.
That's as pure as it can get.
That's it. And in our life, this ain't comforting to you. Maybe it will be too, that are suffering right now. Do you know that if you let God handle this right, that this suffering, when you are tried, when you go through the fires, when you suffer, and you cry, and you weep, and you pray, when you come out of it, though, you're going to come out of it as pure gold.
Absolutely.
Pure gold.
Absolutely. That's what God's looking for.
Yeah, God has a way of refining our lives if we'll let Him.
Right.
And that is going to be through Jesus Christ, His Son.
Right. That's right.
And when that takes place, that individual is well equipped then to stand in the presence of God and give an account of himself. But he's always going to have the advocate with him, and that's going to be Jesus Christ.
What about this thing? And the Bible tells this. I used to pray for patience. Lord, I mean, I was an impatient person. Lord, give me more patience. And I read the book of James.
Oh, man.
And what? How does patience come?
Tribulation worketh patience.
That's right.
James said. And I'm like, James, whoa, Tex, let's don't do that.
Let's not do
the tribulation part. Let's just jump to the patience.
Yeah, let's skip that.
Yeah.
Throw a little patience on me.
But how truthful that is.
Yes.
Let me tell you what. I learned patience through sickness.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, I lay 4 hours, 3 days a week.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing I can move is this right hand.
Right.
And I can't move it very far.
Because what are you going through?
I'm doing dialysis for 4 hours a day, 3 days a week. And pain to it.
You can't sit there and sew? Or
you can't sew.
Work on a computer?
You can't read. Some of them got a text that machine that they can do with their thumbs.
Yeah.
And that's about all.
But I can't even do that.
I mean, neither.
Well, I don't even have the machine. And my thumbs are so old and decrepit, I couldn't do it if I had two machines. But
that's where you've learned patience.
That's where I'm at.
That's where I've learned
patience.
Right.
And it seems that the last 30 minutes of that 4 hours is the longest part of any day and of every day.
I don't doubt that one bit. Well, let me tell you, I have seen you learn patience. This old boy we're talking about, Brannon Stoy Pinion, he preached revivals all over the country. And he preached a revival for us one time, and this was back before he learned patience. And a kid in the service had to go to the bathroom. And the kid got up to go to the bathroom, and my friend that has learned patience through suffering, Brandon Stoy Pinion, said to that boy, "Boy, sit down." And the boy sat down, and I think he ruined his kidney. But I have seen Brandon over the years, and especially during these days when there was a time when he didn't know whether he was going to live or die with his situation.
Right.
And those are his friends. Mike and I have been friends with him for a long time. We saw God do a great, great change in his life. And so I guess what we're saying is, right now it don't seem like you're getting any benefit out of this suffering you're going through. But God knows you. He knows what you can stand. Somebody said God won't put any more on us than we can stand. I don't know that is the scriptural truth, but I do know He won't put more on us than he and I can stand, because He's going to help me through these times.
Absolutely.
God's always, remember, when you're in the furnace of trials and temptations, God's hand is on the thermostat.
And according to the three Hebrew children, who was the fourth guy that was down there
walking in the fire with them?
That's right.
And it says it is, looks like the Son of God.
Amen. It was the Son of God.
It was the Son of God.
So when you're going through what you're going through, I know it's hard for you to understand it. I know we can sit up here and you say they just don't understand. But you're not walking through there alone.
No.
If you go forward and you didn't see him, and you go backward and you didn't see him, and you go to the left and you didn't see him, and you go to the right and you didn't see him, that don't prove anything. He's there.
He's there.
He never leaves. I'll never leave you or forsake you.
If you're a Christian.
Right.
If you've placed your faith and trust in him, and you've admitted to him you're a sinner, and you have asked him to save you and placed your faith in him, you will never, ever, ever walk alone. I don't care where you are.
And that's what we want to leave with you most of all, because we've got another part to go. But Mike just told you how you can be born again into God's family. Tell that one more time, Mike.
When you come to the point to where you will reach out to God, I know I'm a sinner. I know everybody's sinned, and I have too. I have sinned before God, and I believe that Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died for me, and I ask you now, I place my faith in him to save me. I promise you he will. I guarantee you he will, because he gave us that authority in his word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So you do that today, and you find you a church, you find you some folks that love the Lord and believe in God and place their faith in him, and you start today to serve him. You'll see what I'm talking about.
And even on your sick bed of suffering, you can do that.
Absolutely.
You don't even need to be able to talk verbally around it.
No, not at all.
You can talk with your heart.
You can, right now. God will save you.
He will. Well, we got to finish this last part, Mike, out of Gospel of John, chapter 9. So read that to us.
In John 9, verses 1 through 3, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, we know that this man had sin and to know his parents had sin. But Jesus is not saying that they were perfect people.
That was not the cause. That was
that's what he's saying. That was not the cause. In other words, he says in verse 3, this has happened to him so that the works of God will be shown, will be made manifest. Other people will see God's hand through what's happening to him.
And believe.
And that may be what's going on in your life right now.
That's right.
It could be what's going on in my life right now.
And everybody, somebody is watching you, and the only Bible they ever read is your life.
And they see your searching, they see your pain, they see you crying out to God, and they will see God turn to you, and they will see what God will do for you.
In this case, the suffering was blindness. Society's estimation of blindness was that blind people were worthless. Blind people were hopeless. And even the sufferer, and this may be your case that's listening to it, your self-evaluation. In Jesus' day, there was no Talladega school for the blind.
No.
If you made it, you begged.
That's right.
That was the only way. You see, over and over, Jesus met a blind beggar. And that was the only hope you had. You just begged. You just sat and begged. Put a can down in front of you and sat there and begged. Or not, if you didn't have a can, a hat, or whatever you put. But that was the tragedy of it. And the thinking of blind people, I mean the thinking of even saved people, because his disciples asked him what, Brother Pinion? What did his disciples there in verse 2 ask him?
Well, and the disciples said to him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They were blaming it on the parents.
Yeah, they were blaming
it
on
his
sin.
Could have been on each one of them.
Blind. There had to be
anybody to blame.
Yeah, just like Job's friends.
Yeah.
But Jesus said it's because God wants to reveal himself. And I believe, as we studied the story of Job a little earlier, Job had everything restored to him. He had his sons and daughters again. He had his wealth back again. And I believe that was so that, I know it's a reward to Job, I understand that. But I believe that more than anything, it was so that the rest of the world could see the hand of God. I believe it was God revealing himself to the people around him. All them old boys that talked about his sin being his problem and all of that. Now they see the hand of God. They see what God can do, and now they can learn of God through what happened to Job. And I know that's what's happened in my life before, and all of you guys too, the same way.
Right. And I don't know for certain, but whatever, it's even possible God gave me the same children back again.
Who knows?
Yeah, but either way, it was a comfort to him. And we can end this lesson by telling you, if you will be willing, first of all, if you're not a Christian, to call on the name of the Lord, ask him to forgive you, believe he died for you, you'll be saved. Secondly, if you'll call upon him and just say, Lord, I don't understand what I'm going through, but But I believe from your word and from what these preachers are telling me about you that you've got a purpose in it. And all I ask is that you just give me your presence while I suffer through this, and I'll do it for your glory. Now, I hope that you'll do that. Please keep us in mind for next week and join us right here on the radio.